Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 22 for a minute. Well, praise God. How many are thankful for the Word of God? Amen. I praise God for His Word. And I'm going to pray here a minute. We're going to look into some things this morning. I want us to decide what kind of faith do we have. And this morning I really want to talk about having determined faith in God. How many know sometimes we've got to be determined to believe God? Amen? It doesn't just fall on us, but when we set our faith, we've got to decide, hey, I'm going to receive. Now the scripture I have here in Matthew 22, in verse 36. Let's back up. Let's read verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So now here he's talking about a decision that each one of us has to make. And they're trying to tempt the master. They're trying to tempt him and say, hey, what's the great commandment, Jesus? What is the greatest thing? What do we really need? Because these are men that are bound on what? Following the law, right? And he said, here we go. I'll tell you what happens. The law is now set. He said, this is the great commandment. That we decide, we make, everybody knows we make a decision to follow Jesus, amen? We have to determine that I'm going to love God, he says, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect, and with all of our mind, amen? So that is where we are first. He said, love God. That's the number one commandment. And then to love our neighbor as ourself. Hallelujah. In other words, we're not putting ourselves above someone else. We're not putting them down to make us look better, right? We're loving them and we're believing God for them and with them. On these two hang all the law. He said the entire law and all the commandments that have been given are found in these two things, loving God and loving people. Now that, you say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because faith works by love. Faith worketh by love. And it's here in Galatians chapter 6. No, it's not. Okay. Can't remember where the reference is right now. Anyway, but faith works by love. Hallelujah. I believe it's in Romans. But faith worketh by love. And so this morning I'm talking about a little bit, how do we have determined faith? We've got to decide, and sometimes we need to have determined faith to see things happen in our life. Because how many know, sometimes things are present, but it's not all up to God. Some things are up to us as well. We have to agree with Him. We have to decide to put our faith, our firm persuasion in what God has said. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. We've taught that here. We've looked at that here. We looked at Hebrews chapter 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we do not yet see. Nevertheless, God said, you must have faith. It is with faith that we please God, and it is with faith that we receive from Him. Let's go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Luke 5:15, we're going to begin reading there. I want us to read down, and he says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him," talking about Jesus, "and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." How many heard that? To hear and to be healed. Amen. How many know sometimes we have to hear to have faith, don't we? If we never hear, we don't have faith. It is impossible. That's why Jesus had said over in the 10th chapter of Romans, he says, if there's no preacher, how will they hear? And if they don't hear, how can they, what, be saved? They can't be saved unless there's a preacher and unless they hear the good news. And so here is the same idea. Here he says, they came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. How many know sometimes we have to withdraw ourselves? That's just a side point there, but how many know there are times we withdraw ourselves and we seek after God? You're going after him. When there's a need in our life, sometimes we have to get a hold of the Word of God, and we have to stand, and we have to continue to fight, and we have to continue to move forward. And here he says, and it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now here we see that the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, those that were sitting by, as we read earlier, they were trying to trick Jesus. And here they're trying to say, Jesus, you know, the power of God became present. They're sitting here, and they're from every town of Galilee. They're from all around. They've come to hear and to be healed. Nevertheless, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, yet there was no healing taking place in this particular passage. They were there. Jesus taught. The Pharisees, the doctors are there. People that are wise, they know. They can hear. Nevertheless, the power of the Lord came in. In other words, he's not just talking about, you know, we know, how many know God is present all the time? Amen. He's always with you. He doesn't ever leave us or forsake us. But here he's saying there was a manifested presence of the Lord to heal people. In other words, it was tangible in the room. It was available there. And you know what I mean. There are times when God swoops in. How many knows? God swoops in and there's a tangible presence of the healing power of God. And here it's taking place where Jesus is. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, see, faith can be recognized. Jesus called it faith. They begin to find a way to get this man to Jesus. And I like what, I think it's Mark Hankins that says that sometimes you need four crazy friends. Amen. To help you receive your miracle and get you before Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, he saw their faith and he said to them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Of course, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said to them, "What reason ye in your hearts?" And here again, we talked about it not long ago, about the reasoning that men sometimes come into. Amen? They reason the Word of God away from their life. And that's why it is important to realize here these men were trying to figure out how can we get before Jesus. The place is full. The presence of God, the power of God was present to heal. And they had to make a determination. We're going to find a way. And many times we need to make a determination. God, I'm not giving up. I'm not letting loose of you till I receive what is available to me. And here when Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," what would hinder him from anything that sin brings? Why wouldn't he be healthy? Why wouldn't he be whole? He said sin and sickness is all part of the curse of the law. It's under the curse of the law. Jesus delivered us from that curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Anyway, praise the Lord. We're delivered of the curse of the law. And what God gave, when he forgave the sin, he would bring healing. The healing was available and it came forth. He says, what's easier, to say your sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that they might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. They realized that the power of God is available. They said, hey, he has the power not only to heal, but to forgive the sin of mankind and bring that. Now we also remember, and if we see here, the power of God was present to heal. But how many know it? We have to set our faith within the power of God. There has to be at least enough faith where someone says, would you pray, or would you, you know, they're believing, they're coming to receive. And they have to mix some, there has to be some faith that's mixed with the power of God. The power of God can be in you and lie dormant. Did you know that? The presence of God, the power of God can be in a person and lie dormant. We have to mix our faith with the power of God that is present. Let me give you, now here's an example in John chapter 5. How many remember the pool of Bethesda? How many knows the pool of Bethesda? Now here's all these people out. Now this is a sovereign move of God, apparently. I mean, he stirred the waters once a year. And the first person in the water, right, got their healing. They were totally whole. They were made whole. And, you know, we saw the one man where he said, well, would you like to, Jesus asked one man, why? Because he was led of the Holy Spirit. He was led of God. Why didn't he heal them all? Because he was led to one. Now, there are times when that happens, you know, about this is the stirring of the water. But how many know that water stirred and it, they had to make a determination. Everybody's trying to be the first one to get in there. You know, I mean, I was thinking about that, meditating. I thought, well, if I'm there, if I were sick, which I don't want that to be, but say you were, and you're at that pool, you'd be thinking every breeze, you know, oh, is the water stirring? Every little movement, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking, oh, I get myself in that water. The stirring of that water produced, and the healing power was present when they put themselves in there. They had faith to receive, you know, and now this man was lying on the mat. Now he received healing of Jesus. He says, why aren't you, don't you want to be healed, you know? And he says, well, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. I've been here a long time. And Jesus says to him, what does he say to him? Take up your mat and walk, go, and sin no more. In other words, he was there. And there are times that the healing power of God, how many know it came through Jesus? In this instance, apparently it was a gift. It was the gift of God. It was a move of the Spirit of God upon Jesus to go to this man. But there are times when that presence comes. There's the stirring of the water, and the people had to make a what? Determination. Hey, I got to try to get down into that water. If I can get in that water when it's stirred, I know I'll be made whole. I watched the last man get in there. You know, but how many know there are times that Jesus doesn't just stop with every single person. He didn't just heal every person that was there. There were people that he walked by. He didn't heal every person at the pool. And everybody says, well, why not? Well, number one, he was being led of the Spirit. And secondly, later on, people followed him, and I'm sure possibly some by the pool did follow him. But that wasn't the purpose of God. The purpose of God is to bring health and the healing, but he requires, at many times, he required, hey, we've got to have faith. Out of the 19 times in the Bible where people came to Jesus for healing, 11 times they were told, thy faith, your faith, has made you whole. And many times when we're battling in our life, we've got to decide if we're going to let our faith work with God. Amen? We've got to take a hold of it, and we've got to be determined. I mean, the men here in Luke 5, they were determined. They're going to get this guy before Jesus. We're going to get you to Jesus. Don't you worry. And many times, we've got to get to the place where we become determined. We are going to touch Jesus. We are going to reach him. In Mark 10. Let's go to Mark 10 for a minute. And here we see the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it says here, and they came, verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out to Jericho with his disciples and the great number of the people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more and a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, I might receive my sight, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. But how many know Jesus was just walking by? Was Jesus just going to stop for Bartimaeus if he hadn't cried out? Apparently not. He kept saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He began to exercise his faith. He's saying, I know that this is the master. I have heard that he can do miracles. I know that things can take place if I can get myself, can touch Jesus. If I can touch him, if I can get his attention, if I can cause him to see who I am and realize, hey, here I am, Jesus. I desire something of you. I believe that you can do this. And he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. By faith they cried out. They continued to move forward. They made a determination. It wasn't just maybe or hope so. People tried to get them around to shut up and be quiet. They said, no, we've come to gain our miracle. And sometimes we've got to get our faith determined. We're going to receive our miracle from God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get us to see that we have to have determined faith in God. Not faith in who we are. Because how many know? No person can give you a miracle. You can say, well, I went down, you know, I had so-and-so pray for me and they gave me it. No, they didn't give you a miracle. God was able to flow through them that you might receive your miracle. Hallelujah. Sometimes God can use that. He can use a gift of the Spirit. Now that's different. Gift of the Spirit is different than believing and trusting God yourself. Amen. If the gift of the Spirit comes into operation, the Bible says it's as the Spirit wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. And as He makes that made known to those around, the gift of the Spirit, He could use you or anybody that's watching today. He could say, hey, He could speak to you and say, I want you to go pray for this person and they'll be healed. I've had that happen several times in my life and I've been blessed by that. You know, it's a blessing to me, a blessing to that person that receives a healing, but they're not receiving it upon their faith. They're receiving it upon, you know, the direct gift of God. Now, some would say, well, isn't healing a gift? Well, it's what He provided for us in the cross alone. That's why we can put faith in Him to receive. And here this blind Bartimaeus had put faith in the fact, hey, I've heard of Jesus. I know what He has done. I'm going to cry out. I'm not going to sit by here and hope that He stops and sees me. I'm going to cry out and receive what God desires for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Mark 5 for a minute. I know most of you know this already, Mark 5:34. While we're in Mark, we'll go there. But here we have the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus is on His way, really. To go to Jairus' house here for his daughter. But they're going along and let's look at verse 34. It said, and He said unto her, well, let's back up just a minute, a little bit. Let's look at 30. And Jesus immediately knowing in Himself. Now here's the woman that has the issue of blood. Well, let's back up. Let's go to 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when he had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She sensed it. She knew it. And Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to Him, you see the multitude thronging thee and saying, and sayest thou, who touched me? We're all touching you, Jesus. We're all around you. We're all pressed in against you. And He looked around about and to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell before Him and told Him all the truth. And He says to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In other words, she had to determined in her heart. Here she is. She was a woman that had spent all that she had and was none better. She couldn't find a cure. She couldn't get an answer from a physician, from a doctor, or any other way. But she had heard of Jesus. What did she hear of Jesus? Obviously that there were ways in which she could be healed. Let's look over at Luke 6 for a minute. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17 here. And here is a possibility of what she may have heard. It says here in verse 17, it says, and Jesus comes down with the disciples here, and it says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Here again, they came to what? Hear and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Perhaps, I'm not saying this is what she heard, but she may have heard, hey, there were people there that found, they touched Jesus, and they were healed. And so she began to say, I'm going to touch the Master. Here's an unclean woman. She has to cry out, unclean, unclean. Here she goes, trying to press through the crowd. Now, most people have her down on her knees and, you know, just barely pressing through. I don't know if that's the case, but anyway, she was pressing through. She's, you know, maybe she was saying, excuse me, you know, and she's getting through the crowd. She's determined. I'm going to touch his hem. And when we get determined that we're going to touch Jesus with our faith, our answer is going to come. We have to sometimes say, hey, how long is it going to take? 10,000 years maybe. But I've decided I'm going to get my answer. I have been determined that I know that God is, that Jesus is the Master, and that God has my answer, and I'm going to receive it from Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look here a few pages over here in Luke chapter 18 for a minute. And here we see the story of the unjust judge. And Jesus gives this parable. Now, if you really look at it, we'll see what the unjust judge is and who that is. But we have to make that decision. Here we saw that blind Bartimaeus made that decision. We saw so far that the woman that the men that were around Jesus, and they brought the paralytic. They had to make the decision. How can we get Jesus' attention? What shall we do? And Jesus saw it as faith in action. And I'm telling you, God does not a respecter of persons. He's not. But He is a respecter of faith. He requires faith. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if we're determined, sometimes we've got to get ourselves determined. We're going to receive what we need. Amen. Not just playing and saying, hey, God, I'm here. Look at me. But to believe God's word. Amen. And as we do, and as we stand and we say, I'm going to let my faith touch the Master. I'm going to receive what God has for me. Hallelujah. Verse chapter 18 of Luke here. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. Not to give up, not to quit. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying here. He's saying they don't want them to faint or to lose heart, in other words. We don't want to quit. He said, keep praying to this end, saying there was a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now here we have the woman that's going to a judge, a natural judge. And she's crying out day and night, avenge me of my adversary. And basically, finally he gets tired of hearing her say, oh, okay, fine. But that's not a picture of our Father God. God is willing to give to us. God is already waiting to give to us. But it is a picture of man's soul, man's mind, his will, his emotion, where we have our reasoning capacities. Remember, we were talking about reasoning against the Word of God. But when we bring the truth of the Word of God from our heart to the Father on a continual basis, we're continually saying, I know in whom I believe, that I am trusting you, Father, and this is what your word has said, that by your stripes I was healed. And we're determined in ourselves. See, our reasoning, our mind wants to get, it doesn't care about man. Our mind doesn't care about what we're going through. Not really. Our soul, we got to get that, but when that soul comes to that place, finally it says, okay, I'm done. I've had enough. You can see that truth, and it becomes a reality in our life. And many times we need to allow the faith of God to bombard our reasoning, our mind with the Word of God. What do? We meditate therein, what, day and night, that we may have success. That's what he told the prophet Joshua, didn't he? Over here in Acts, verse 3. So she had come, she said, avenge me. Many times we're coming, and it's not God that has to avenge us. God is already willing. How many know he's willing and able? He does not withhold any good thing from you. We have to know his character. And so when we see this, we're saying, well, that's not a picture. When Jesus is saying this isn't a picture of God. It's a picture that we don't give up, that we don't lose heart, that we are faithful to the truth of God's word no matter what we see, and we determine in our heart that we're going to receive what God has promised. And we continue to stand. We continue to stand before him. Joshua 1:8 says that we're not to let the book of the law, what, depart from our mouth. Deuteronomy Joshua. Hallelujah. The sixth book of the Bible there, if that helps you. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. It says this book of the law, or we may say today the word of God, it shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How many know what that word meditate means? Meditate means to think on, to mutter over and over. It gives the picture like a cow that chews its cud. Now it's kind of gross, but cows have 7 stomachs. That cat cud, you know, they chew the grass and it goes down and starts to digest and comes back up and they chew it some more and they swallow it. And it goes down and it goes through their system ultimately. But they go over and over that. They chew that more than once. And so that's what it's a picture of. We begin to chew on the Word of God. We don't let it depart out of our mouth from before our eyes. We keep it before us. And we continue to speak what God has said. And we determine in our heart that we're going to have faith in what God has said. Therein, day and night, he says, we meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I mean, he's here talking to to Joshua, because what? Moses passed away. He's the next leader. He's got to fill the shoes of Joshua, apparently. You know, he's the next leader that's been chosen by God. It's not an easy thing. And but God tells him, God encourages him. Amen. Praise God. And verse 5 says, there's not any man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. How many people believe that God will be with you? You know, sometimes in the hour of testing, to know that God is with us. Amen. He is for us. And he is not trying to allow anything to come against you. But we have battles in life, and the forces of life come against us. And we've got to determine, are we going to believe God? Amen. I think that happens to everybody in life at some point. We've got to decide, I'm going to make that determination. I'm following God, period. Amen. I'm walking with God. I'm going to believe God over my circumstance. It may not look good today, but I will not stop having God's word in my mouth. I will not stop meditating upon what God has said. I will not stop saying what God has said. I will agree with him and I will receive the answer, even though there are times it doesn't come today. How many know with God, payday is not always every Friday? Amen. Sometimes it's not in the time we think it should be, but it does come. We have to become determined. We have to allow God's faith to rise up on the inside of us. We become what? As Abraham said, firmly persuaded. The Bible said he became firmly persuaded. And in Hebrews 11, it says that Sarah herself, she also what? Received strength to believe. And she became persuaded. And together they received that promised child. And today we're here and we're saying, hey, Father, if there's a need in my life, whatever it may be, I'm going to determine that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to meditate day and night on what you have said. I'm going to hold fast to the word of God. How many remember how many remember Daniel when he prayed? Remember when Daniel prayed? And he prayed and he was asking God, right? He's praying. He says, hey, these 70 years have come and gone, and the angel came and finally appeared to Daniel. And he says, you know, Daniel went into 21 days of fasting and he's praying, and the angel comes and he says, Daniel, I heard you the first day. You were heard the first day, but there was interference in the spirit realm. And it was difficult for us to bring your answer. And sometimes it may not just be in the spirit realm, but sometimes it's in our reasoning realm on our own mind. Amen. We can reason against the word of God sometimes because of what we see, because of what it looks like. The enemy comes and he lies to you, doesn't he? And he tries to discourage us and he tries to hold us back. We have to decide and make a decision that we're going to be faithful and continue with God's word and determine in ourselves that we're going to have what? Faith in God. Hallelujah. And remember when we said that does kind of bother me sometimes. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, that verse 18 where we just were, you know, with the unjust judge, he says, what did he say? He said, will I find faith in the earth? Am I going to find faith? The people that will believe me. And that's what we want to do. We want to continue in faith. Amen. Trusting God. That means a faith is just a firm persuasion. It is a conviction based on what God has said. When we believe what God believes, faith comes. When we make a choice, faith can come quickly and easily. But sometimes we have to hold on. We have to decide, I'm going to receive what God has promised. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So how many are going to continue to press in? Continue to have determined. You're going to make a determination. How many know sometimes I know I'm still trying to lose weight, but we have to really determine we're going to do something, don't we? when our flesh is against us, when our mind is coming against us, when it doesn't look good, we have to make a determination. Hey, I'm going to believe God. Isaiah 62. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here. And we'll close here in just a minute. Praise God, praise God. Are you determined? Are you seeing our ability? We can determine to believe God. We have to take a look at where we are. And we have to say, Lord, I am going to receive. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. Master, look to me. Have mercy on me. And the blind Bartimaeus received. You know, and they touched him and were made whole. And hallelujah, when we meditate day and night, when we keep his word in our mouth, we can be made whole. We have to stay steadfast, like Daniel when he prayed. He had to stay steadfast and seek God, even though he was heard on that first day. Luke 62, let me read verse 6 and 7. He says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yet, day or night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And here God was saying, I've got watchmen on the wall, and if you'll stay there and you'll continue day and night, don't let it rest. Don't let the faith of God rest on our laurels, but get ourselves moving. Get ourselves speaking what God has said. Let us realize that it is our emotions many times that try to stop us. It is our reasoning that tries to determine what we're going to receive from God. But when we get determined, when we say, no, I'm going to let the faith of God rise on the inside of me. I'm going to hold fast to what God has said. I'm going to meditate on it day and night. I'm going to keep it in my mouth. Amen. I'm going to be like this watchman on the wall who wouldn't stop praying day and night. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of people say, well, I've received things from God and I didn't do any of that. Well, praise God, your mama prayed for you and her faith got it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's time. Sometimes we got to grow up. We've got to allow ourselves to say, no, I have faith in God. I'm going to allow my faith to work and I'm going to receive from the Master. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I know it's more of a word of encouragement and strengthen us that we can determine in our heart to have faith in God. I thank you, Father, that you will help us to never stop, never draw back, Father. We do not faint or lose heart, but we stand strong in what you have promised, and what you have promised shall come to pass. We know, Father, that you called us even here, Father, to receive revival in this city. Many that are watching, to walk with God in revival, in truth. Lord, and we thank you, Father God, that as we continue to stand and continue to pray and seek your face, Father, that, Lord, you will continue to help us to transform and to believe you and to have our minds renewed to that truth, Father, as we meditate day and night. Oh, Father, we touch you with our faith, Father, and we receive from you. In the name of Jesus, Father, amen.